The word today is you. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Today, you are the topic. It's all about you. How well do you know yourself? Do others find it easy to be around you? Here from our archives, to lead us in an evaluation of ourselves, is Pastor Paul Schrader. On The Word Today, you.
I want to give you kind of a little self-exam today. It's not easy to do. As a matter of fact, introspection is something all of us need to do a little bit more of. But let me just, the first question, who is the real you? Now, you know, let's not get corny about this. You know, I can remember when studying psychology that they used to talk about the normal and the abnormal. You're pretty normal if you have at least three different types of you. Now, when you're a child, you can see this a little more clearly. Let's say that you have grandparents that are very strict with you, and they love you very much, they give you presents and so on. So when you're at grandpa and grandma's house, you are on your best behavior. Oh my, you are polite, and you talk to them, thank you, grandma, thank you, grandpa, you know, and you're just like little angels, so to speak. It's not too realistic about who you really are, but that's the way you are in their mind and in their heart when you're around them. Now, let's say then there's another type of person you are when you're normal, so to speak, at home. You maybe don't clean up your room the way you should. You maybe are not always as anxious to help do the dishes or whatever it is. And so there's that part of you. And then there's another whole different part of you, someone that hardly knows you, but they have put you on a very high pedestal. And they say, maybe it's a music teacher at school. And they say, oh, you are so good at music. And your mind just soars. You can see yourself maybe singing in Carnegie Hall or something like that. And as a result, you really have three different images. And they claim that abnormality is when those images begin blurred. And you kind of look at all three of them simultaneously. And you don't really know who you are. Now, when you bring them in together, kind of like bringing them into focus, there'll still be a little overlap, but little elements of each of those views will show up in who is the real you. Now let me come to you again with that question. Who is the real you? Is it what your friends think of you? Is it what your family members think of you? Is it what your spouse thinks of you? Is it what your children think of you? Is it what some teacher or some person that works with you think you are? Who is the real you? Now, in order to get at this biblically, let's take a little look at several verses in the third chapter of Colossians. Recently, I've been talking about Colossians. It's a beautiful letter. It's filled with phrases about thanksgiving to God. And in the third chapter, it talks a little bit about this, who is the real you. Now, verses 9 and 10 of the third chapter of Colossians talks about the old self, you know, the old person you used to be, in contrast to the new you. Now, it's talking there about the unbeliever, who at one time didn't know Christ, in comparison and in contrast to the person who's come to know Christ. And it has changed everything. Now, you recognize that this is not talking physical, it's talking spiritual. This is not the outward self, this is the inner self. And if you want to read a little bit more about that, you can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Well, let's kind of take a look at why this is an important subject. You know, who you really are is going to affect your emotions and how you feel and how you act around other people. I'm sure we've all met negative people. I mean, they're just negative, and they're not very happy people. They're kind of grouchy. You almost feel as though they're walking around in mud. They're depressed. They're discouraged. It's kind of like a little cloud that floats over their head everywhere they go. And you notice moods are contagious. If you're around somebody that is constantly negative, the odds are you're going to end up being negative. I hate to think of that when raising kids, because negative parents create negative children. And they have a negative point of view about themselves and about life. And it's very discouraging. So one of these first questions would be, what is your attitude? When you're looking here at St. Paul's writings, especially Colossians, Ephesians, these letters were all written when he was in prison. He was in Rome. Also the Philippians. All of these letters were written while he was in prison. He has an inner joy, an inner peace with God, even though his circumstances are pretty lousy. They're pretty terrible. Yet he approaches his life and he understands his life as being in relationship with God, and therefore he's happy. He's not happy about the circumstances, but he's happy about knowing Christ. He's happy about his inner joy. He's happy about his inner peace with God. Now, it is God who motivates. Now, I mentioned the letter to the Philippians. While you're there, by the way, Philippians 4 is one of the happiest, joyful chapters in the Bible. If you're feeling down and discouraged and depressed, read Philippians 4 and keep that as one of the most important Bible chapters that you can look at whenever you're feeling blue. Philippians 4. And also, I started to say, Philippians 2, verse 13. The good works, you know, that you want to do and act according to the good purposes God has put you on earth for, just take a look at Philippians 2, verse 13. And your personal relationship with God is going to affect how you feel and who you think you are. Now, in case there are some folks out there that don't believe in God, and there are, we know that, and you think that you are a product of evolution. You just happen to be here on earth. You don't know why. You really don't understand why. You see that you've been helped in certain ways, and you think, well, maybe you talk like unbelievers that say, well, there must be someone up there that loves me, somebody that's watching over me, and so on. I guess you would say you feel lucky and you feel that things are going okay. I can't help but feel that when you consider your life, you would be a little bit blank in terms of saying, well, you know, I don't really understand what I'm doing here, and I don't feel too important. I'm just part of the animal kingdom, possibly, and I live here a while, and then I die, and that's it. Well, obviously, if that's who you are, who you feel you are, you're not going to be too joyful inside. You're not going to be looking forward to anything in the future, certainly not eternal salvation. And so what I'm hopeful of is that as you conduct this self-examination, you will say to yourself, well, what could change me? What could give me a view of life that is more positive? What could give me an understanding of myself that I would be more pleased to observe and to view and to grow into? I'm telling you, folks, you need to meet Jesus Christ. He changes everything. Totally changes everything. Not just the exterior, not just your surroundings, but he changes who you really are. As you come to know Christ, or maybe you're a weak Christian now and you need to grow, you need to get stronger, read God's word, pray and ask for the blessing of God's Holy Spirit that you will be stronger in doing his will. begin to worship and fellowship with other believers. That's a very important thing. The Bible talks about it. It says, get together with other believers because they will encourage you. They will pray for you. They will help you. And in that process, you will grow and you will see your life change. I have had the experience of discussing Christ with many, many people who've come from unchurched backgrounds and don't know Christ and aren't saved. I've talked with them about Christ. And as they begin to come to faith, their whole lives change. Their whole impression of themselves changes. They begin to take on a new self-worth. They begin to say, well, you mean God loves me? And he loves me eternally. He's prepared a home for me eternally in heaven. And he's going to take me there someday so I can live with him free of any anxiety or fear or pain or suffering. I will live with him forever. That beautiful promise changes your whole outlook on life. And your whole purpose changes once you know Jesus Christ. You will see you're here for a reason. He wants to use you. It's such a blessing to be used by God as you talk to your family and your friends and your neighbors and you see God, the Holy Spirit, working in them as you're telling them about Christ. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And you will thank and praise God that you have a purpose and a meaning to your life. You know, I just can't urge you enough to get in touch with the Christian church, read Christian materials, have a personal relationship with God. You know, I gave you a couple references. Let me give you another one. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The Lord knows those who are his. And they, of course, will turn away from wickedness and choose to serve God. He knows us. And he gives us the power and the energy, the inner peace, the inner assurance of salvation, the eternal promise that we will be with him forever. Everything in your life changes when you know Jesus Christ. Who are you really? I hope you're a child of God. I hope you're one of the redeemed that will be in heaven eternally. If you're not, seek out someone, go to some pastor, some church, somewhere, read Christian literature, get to know Jesus Christ personally. I guarantee you, you will discover a whole new you, the real you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.